I realize that I write my notes, and I realize I just wrote these. As soon as I say these four words, I'm going to lose a big chunk of you. As soon as I say back in high school, because when I say back in high school, there are dinosaurs on the earth, and, you know, the planet was just, you know, cold enough to walk on. Back in high school, try to stay with me, because I'll try to bring the relevance back to you. Some of you older folks, you were just like, okay, that's not me. And some of you younger folks are like, did y'all have dial phones back then? Yes, we did. Yes, we had rotary phones back then. I once had a pager, also known as a beeper. Some of you have never even heard of that unless you're in the medical industry, and that's fine. Back in high school, whoosh, I had a mullet. Back in high school, it was fashionable, man. When it was long down here but short in the front, we were insane. Back in high school, stay focused, Ben. Come on, buddy. Back in high school, there came to be a word. The African-American and black community began to use a word in a way that I'd never heard before. They started saying represent. And I, like everybody else, I pretended I knew what that meant, but I really didn't. I would hear somebody say that, and immediately I knew that they had, like, some responsibility. There was some responsibility when somebody looked at you and said that, but I didn't know what my responsibility was. Now I get it. To represent means you live in a way that acknowledges your background. You live in a way that acknowledges your social group or even your very origins. You live in a way that you represent these connections, these people. My parents used to say the worst trouble that I could ever get in was if I was over at a neighbor's house. And I didn't understand that. You know, it was important for me to be respectful and to be obedient at home. In the South, we call it cutting a shine. If you go to somebody else's house and you cut a shine, don't go back home. Because even if the people that you stayed with were fine with it, they were like, oh, he's just a kid being a kid. And then there's happened to be some conversation. Well, he did this. Oh, really? And then your name would get called and you'd go to the bathroom. And it was not because you had to use the facilities. It was because you were going to be on the business end of an arm, usually. That's usually what happened there. Because you represented. I represented my family. My parents didn't want anybody to think that I was not getting the right training at home. Don't go behave like you don't know what rules are. We don't want people to think, now let's be real, that was about how my parents felt. But still, I get that I was representative of my family culture, of the values. I represented, my behavior represented the values, or lack thereof, that were being taught to me at home. So as the years went by, I really began to understand, the older I got, what this word means. A representative is a person chosen or appointed to act or speak for another or others. That's an important position, because you represent someone or an ideal or something or teaching or a group. You're representative of that. So when a person comes into contact with you, you're kind of the general understanding of that. Woo, that's a lot of weight. As I got older, I came to understand that our government is representative. There's no possible way that everybody in this country could have an audience with the decision-making people. And so we, you know how it works. You vote for a man or a lady, and they go and represent you, you hope, to the best of their understanding of what they think you need. So I get that. Sometimes you're a representative by virtue just of your position. If you've ever waited tables before, they're not called waitresses anymore, they're called servers. If you've ever served in a restaurant before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've ever really been in the customer service industry or the food service industry, you know what I'm talking about. You become a representative of that group. That I was a representative of Longhorn Steaks for 5 long years. And that can be both a blessing and a curse, because you're either the hero or the goat. That's how that works. And your tip depends largely on the experience that the people that you are serving have. And if they don't have a good experience, you don't get paid. That's just how it works. This is a quick PSA. If you don't tip, please tip. I know you think your servers are making 12 and 15 bucks an hour. They ain't. Way back when I was serving, my federal wage was $2.27. That's not true. Yes, it is. I could show you the tax documents. I can't really. I threw them away, but I could back then. All my money came from tips. I'm starting to process some personal things. Here's what I'm saying to you. Your server is a representative of the, and so you begin to feel some type of way about that restaurant. So if the kitchen messed up an order, that was going to affect my income. But if I messed up an order and the kitchen saved me, I got to be the hero. I represented Longhorns. We're never going back there. We had a horrible experience. What happened? Our server wasn't good. Ugh. that business just lost business because of your whatever, however you messed up. So by virtue of your position, sometimes you're a representative. If you work in customer service, you represent a company. Has anybody in here ever worked in customer service before? Let me see your hand really quickly. You've ever worked in customer service? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and you and you. That's a rough job because people are not great. And sometimes people treat you in a way that is not, I don't know, almost if you weren't human, because they're mad at the company or the product or the people that you represent. That's tough because, again, you either get the praise or you get the responsibility. If your company didn't act right to this person and they call your line and they're not happy with you because you're the embodiment of that. I truly believe that that's one of the reasons companies now use these extended menus. Do you remember when you picked up your phone and you dialed a number and someone answered? You remember that? Lots of you don't. Lots of you have never known what it is like to dial a number and get a human being on the other. Lots of y'all have phones and you don't call people on them, which is weird, but all right, that's fine. You used to be able to call up something and somebody would pick up and you would be like, hey, they'd be like, hey, so-and-so, how can I help you today? Hey, this is what I've got going on. And then they would try to do whatever magic they did behind the scenes and they would be like, we've fixed your issue, blah, 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 right? Not now. If this is your problem, press 1. If this is your problem, press 2. If this is your issue, press 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Oh, wait, there was also some other stuff. If that didn't work, press that. If this isn't, try to press. I have just started saying, if it's a voice system, thank you, God, for the voice systems. As soon as it says, thank you for calling, I just go, representative, 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 representative. And she'll go, if, did, what, zit, what? Now transferring your call to a representative. Yes, lady, that's what I wanted, phone Siri. That's exactly what I wanted to happen. I didn't want to talk to any of these because you can go just round and round, right? If you would like this department, if you would like this department, I just want to know if y'all got this in stock. Can I talk to a person? You're a representative of that company. I feel confident of that. I want to talk to somebody who can help me. I want to talk to somebody who represents, and that's a huge responsibility, being a representative is. Somebody might stop coming to the restaurant or stop buying the products from or subscribing to the services of a company or an entity or a group that you represent. And man, customer service can be tough. As challenging as that position is, it was the West Wing which taught me about ambassadors. I won't talk about that show because it's a political thing, but it was the West Wing that taught me about ambassadors, what an ambassador is. That's like the next generation, the next level up of a representative. An ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Okay. Now it's not just Longhorns. Now I speak for the United States of America. No pressure. 400 and something million people, and what Ghana sees is me, because I'm the ambassador from the U.S. to Ghana, or to the Virgin Islands, or to insert country name here. I represent the entirety of this country, the beliefs, all, the whole of it. And that word sent is a huge word. If you get tired of representing a restaurant or a company, you just put in your 2 weeks. I'm done. When I'm a representative, my scope is just a little bit more narrow. When I'm an ambassador for the country, I'm being sent. When I agree to this job, I'm saying, yes, I will be the face of an entire nation and governmental system to this group of people who may or may not be fans of us. We may be great together. Please send me to a country that we already have a good relationship. Please don't send me to a country where we're not feeling so good about one another, because then I have to do all of these things. When I first started my research, I was like, being an ambassador is not bad. You get to wear tuxes a lot. Your wife gets to wear nice dresses. You get to live in a home that you don't pay for. There's a lot of advantages that the regular average person doesn't experience in their lives. You get to go to cocktail parties. Whoever's in charge invites you over for lots of wonderful, super rich food, dinner kind of things. And you start looking at it and you're like, yeah, then you get to come here and park wherever you want. You can park anywhere because you have diplomatic immunity. Can't get a ticket in this country. Yes, Jesus, that's what I want. Picture, the camera takes a picture of my tag, canceled, can't charge me. diplomatic immunity. There was a policeman out here just this morning, another PSA, pulling people over who were just running the red light at the corner. Just so you know, when you're turning right onto this, come to a complete stop, because that guy, I was like, oh, there's a policeman. I'm going to go out and turned on the light and took off and pulled somebody who ran the light. Diplomatic immunity, it's one of those things that an ambassador has. I get to kind of jump the rules a little bit. And then the more research I did, the more I realized it's not the cushy job that it sometimes seems like it might be. Because you've got to get into the thick of some of the issues. Sometimes if you're in a country where we're not in an agreement and you're the representative of the country that we don't like, whew, that's a tough spot. It's not just about being a representative, it's about relationship. The ambassador learns how to be in relationship with the people who may not be friendly. They have to learn how to communicate. They have to learn how to ingratiate themselves. They have to learn how to be diplomatic in every way that they function and in every way that they talk. It is a challenging spot to be in, but, and I'm going here, stay with me. I know it's a lot of talky-talky, teachy-teachy. Stay with me. We're going to get to the Bible because this is church. You, as a matter of fact, you can go ahead and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 if you want to, because we'll get there. The ambassador is imbued with the power to take issues from another country directly to the highest authority in our government, right to the White House. That's a lot of responsibility, and you want to talk about, that's an in. If as an ambassador, you're in this country and you're meeting with these people and they're saying, listen, we've got these challenges and your government could help us, or your government, this is the difficulties that we're having, and that ambassador can go right to the top levels and go, here are the challenges. They can bring those local issues all the way to the seat of power. Man, that's a lot of influence. That's a lot of responsibility. You can have the expectation as an ambassador that you can go to the highest level of authority, that you will be heard. Time will be made for you. You will be heard, and quite possibly, what you have to say could influence or even exert change. What a position. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says that we're ambassadors of Christ. Before we even read the scripture, giving you what I've given you in our little miniature school lesson here, our little grammar lesson, given what I've given you, I want you to begin to really let that wash over you. That as a person who has God within them, a person who has a relationship with God through Jesus, as a person who is a Christian, you are, by de facto default, an ambassador for Jesus the Christ. Let's read what Paul has to say. In the first parts of this chapter, Paul is doing what he always does. He's explaining himself, and he's trying to help this Corinthian church, and the Corinthians were wild. They were wild folk, and they were trying to bring, Paul was trying to help them understand, listen, there's some things that you guys do that you can't do anymore, but understand that this is not about rules and regulations, it's about being free in the ultimate relationship with Jesus. And he's talking about how, listen, since we understand this faith, our responsibility, and Paul is saying in context, me and these folks that you keep hearing from, me, the Apostle Paul, and the people that I bring with me, all the preaching and the teaching that we're doing, the point is to persuade other people. That's what we're doing. I hope that the way that we're coming across is very clear. We are not purporting ourselves to be something that we're not. We're not trying to come in and rule and reign here. We're not doing that legalistic thing of, look to us, we have the truth, and if you know us, you'll be okay. No, we're trying to lead you to the truth. What you hear us talking about is how you can be free, how you can have real relationship with Yahweh God, how you can be saved. That's what we're talking about. And what we believe is that Jesus died for everybody. Jesus died for everyone. Red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That has real truth in that song, which I was taught as a child. Doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what you've been through, doesn't matter socioeconomically, nothing matters when it comes to the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers everybody always. And Paul is saying, knowing that to be true, verse 16, read with me. We're going to go through the first verse of chapter 6, and I'll explain that to you as well. So from now on, so being, since we understand that the covenant that Jesus created was for everyone through his blood, for everybody, that because he died, everyone is covered. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. I could preach a sermon just about that sentence. So from now on, we no longer judge people the way that we have always judged people. So from now on, we no longer try to stack people up against what we believe to be true, how we think they should act, the things that we think they should do, how they should look like us and talk like us and think like us and function like us. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might in him become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Sometimes our Bible is broken up by chapters and chunks, and they've done the best that they can to make things stick together. I personally believe verse 1 has got to go with those previous verses. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. The reason that that verse is important is because it takes Paul's authority out of the context of just his authority and helps us understand it wasn't just Paul and his people who were ambassadors. We're co-workers with, co-laborers with. We are ambassadors with Paul. I know he was a couple thousand years ago, and that's fine. But it is our responsibility, in the same way that it was his, to represent Christ in this world. Get a hold of that responsibility that you have. You have the responsibility of going out into this world and creating relationship by accurately, to the best of your ability, portraying the one who gave his life for you, his love and his grace and his mercy and his justice. You want to talk about a heavy job responsibility. I want you to follow the linear progression, the progression that Paul says here. First and foremost, sacrifice for all. That was in verses 14 and 15 of 2 Corinthians 5. Sacrifice for all, which leads us to no more judgment. Because the sacrifice is for everybody, we don't get to hold anybody lower than us, and we don't hold anybody higher than us. Jesus' blood literally leveled the playing field. And because of that, we don't judge anymore. Even Paul thought Jesus was fake. We don't have this in our Bible. Quick little piece. Paul was concerned that Jesus was one of many pretenders. There had been other people in Jewish history who had come forward and said, "I'm Messiah, follow me." They had. They absolutely had. They said, I'm the coming. I'm the one that you've been waiting on." And they were all crackpots. They were all crazy. They were, almost all of them were politically influenced and attempted to politically influence. And it always ended poorly for them. These pre-Antichrist Antichrists who came, all of them got killed. All of them would just amass these followings of people, and then they would be like, "Now let's take down the government." And you can imagine how excited Rome was about that. And they were so gentle in their response. "Oh, it's fine. I know you guys have been misled." Nope. Hack, hack, stab, stab, dead, dead. That's how that worked. And so it's quite possible, and we have some evidence of this from Jewish history, that Paul was pretty sure that Yeshua in Zadit, Jesus the Christ from Nazareth of all places, was a pretender. He was a fake. And so Paul even says, even though we used to judge Christ with a worldly point of view, we don't do that anymore because we understand what the truth is. We understand that salvation is recreation. Behold, the old has passed and the new has come. And that reconciliation leads to salvation. Follow him now. Follow him. You've got the salvation. You've been recreated. Now you're a minister of this reconciliation. Bring people back to be reconciled with God through Jesus, because reconciliation leads to salvation. We are ambassadors of that sacrifice. We are ambassadors of the possibility to be reconciled with God through a relationship with this man who came and gave his life, who was the Messiah that you were all, Gentiles didn't know this, but for you Jews, you were all waiting for. And for you Gentiles who have been worshiping multiple gods, y'all went to Sunday school and there were so many gods, it was A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Only one. This is the one true God. This is the God, Gentiles, this is the God that you have been searching for your whole life. This is the one with power. You have prayed at multiple altars and nothing happened. You threw money at sacrifices. You had sex with temple prostitutes. You did all of these things and nothing ever happened for you. But this God, because he's the true and living God, can affect the change in your life that you so desperately need. And that's what we're ambassadors for. And the big word is sent. Quick one today. The big word is sent. I feel so often, I feel this in myself. Again, I won't put this on you. I feel so often in myself that I'm so focused on what is going on with me. I will freely admit to you, last night at the worship night, I brought something before the Lord publicly. Something that has happened to me recently in my life is that the busyness of my life has motivated me to put God at the end of my days. I'm just being 100% honest with you. I find myself at the end of my day trying to hurriedly get into devotion or trying to give God an opportunity to speak to this mind which is just worn out. I've just allowed the busyness. And it's so easy. It happens so quickly. Your relationship with God can become relegated very quickly to get the least of you. God should get my best when I am at my most focused, when I've got the most juice. I know it's shocking for you to think that I ever get tired, but I do. And once I get tired, everything else is important. I'm just like, I can't do it. And I have found myself very recently, often more days out of the week than not, at the end of the day when I'm trying desperately to stay awake going, okay, Lord, what would you like to say to me? I'm ready to worship at Bedside Baptist at that point in time, Church of the Holy Comforter. You know what I'm saying? I'm too tired. I'm trying to give the Lord 5 minutes to speak some truth into me. And he's just like, just go to bed, bro. We'll both be better off. And I confess that. I confess that to you now. That's something that has happened for me. How can I be an ambassador of Christ if I'm so focused on the minutiae of my day, trying to be the best version of myself in my marriage, or the best version of myself to my son, or the best version of myself to you all, or the best therapist that my clients can? I'm so focused on, I got to make sure that I've got all these. How can I be an ambassador when I'm focused on me? I'm not the message. He is. His life and his death and his resurrection and what is available to us. And I am sent by virtue of the fact that I accepted him. This is now my responsibility. We are sent. But here's the beautiful thing about being an ambassador. Because you're an ambassador, you have the authority to take the difficulties in the lives of the people around you straight to the highest authority. You get to go right to the throne with the challenges that not only you face, but the challenges that the people around you face. The people that you both love and the people that also rub you raw. The people that you are into and the people that you try to avoid. You get to be an ambassador to those people. You get to be God's representative to this world. I hope that sinks in for you, because I think if you really got down with the truth that you represent the one who gave his life, that might begin to change what you're focused on. That might begin to mess with what's really important to you and for you. That might begin to shape and to hone who God created you to be, which is a living message to this world. It's a hard word for me today, because I just want God to create opportunities for people to get saved. Lord, just bring up, just reach out, find your way into the, God, use someone to, I say that so many times, Lord, use somebody. I'll say that about people I know. It's one thing to say that about people that you don't have any influence. When I pray for the big needs, like, Lord, there's this country, or there's this group of people, or they're this disenfranchised, or there's this thing happening, and I don't know anybody there, Lord, send someone. Let the church rise up. Send somebody. Let there be light there. Let there be people who know you and love you. But then sometimes I pray for folk that I know on a first name basis. Lord, send them someone. And it's almost like I can feel God roll his eyes. And that's my own, I project that on him, but it's like I can almost hear the, like that big sigh of, really? Come on, Maranatha, we are ambassadors of the Christ. What does that mean for who and what we are? Can we really take a hold of that responsibility and live it to the best of our ability, no matter how uncomfortable that might be, no matter how challenging that might seem, no matter how difficult that may make focusing on ourselves? What if we really lived as ambassadors, true ambassadors for the message of grace, hope, mercy, and justice? What if we lived that way? Father, I thank you for this word, and I pray, God, that my life would begin to represent you. I pray, Father, that I would not save you as the last connection of my day. I declare, God, going forward, I covenant with you that you will get the best of me, the best of my time, the best of my focus, the best of my energy, that you will get that from me because you deserve it. You will not get the tired, worn out, unfocused, self-centered version of me that I end up with at the end of every day. And I know, Father, that if I give you the best, that I will change. And that the people who see me will understand that there is something different about me, not anything on the outside. They will understand that there is something different because that truth, the truth of who you are, will begin to shine through me in such a way that the darkness around me will either recede or be drawn. Not because of who and what I am, but because of who and what you are through me and in me. God, I want to carry a true picture of the sacrifice that you made through your son Jesus. I want to carry the reality of that, the truth of that, the accuracy of that into this world. And it is not easy. It requires me to live in this tension of, how do I not be focused on me? How do I take care of my responsibilities? How do I function in these roles? Lord, you know I just can't sit and pray and read the scripture all day. I just can't do that. I just can't be a 24/7. I know that we're supposed to pray without ceasing, and I know that those things are true, but I look at my life and I think, is that really what you're calling me to? I know what you're calling me to is to be focused on you first and foremost, always. Help me, God, to do that. Empower me to do that. Help me to see the things in my life that need to change. Help me to reprioritize in a way that puts your message first in my mouth and in my actions, in the way that I represent myself, first and foremost to the people around me in my sphere of influence, to my son and to my wife, to my family members, to my friends, to my coworkers, to these people that you have given me to lead. Help it be on every level that what people experience from me is you, because I'm your ambassador. I love you, God. Help this word to get in us. Help it to be transformative to us. Help it to be encouraging and strengthening for us. Help it to embolden us, Father, to be who you called us to be to this world. I love you, God. I thank you for your word, for all the levels that it provides for us, that it is so simple, but it is not easy. I thank you for the challenge that it represents. Help us desire to meet that challenge, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.